Welcome to episode 23 of the Activist Podcast. Let there be carnage. Welcome to another edition of the Activist Podcast. In today's episode, a review of San Jose Rep's God of Carnage, Corduroy Circus Pants, Swatch Sick, and the first ever book review. And to piggyback off the book review, I'll talk a little bit about my audition for San Jose Stage, and you'll see how the two work together. And then, of course, there will be music from the PodSafe Music Network. So, let's rock and roll! Hello, my fellow bipeds. Happy spring. How are you enjoying it so far? Today, it's a dreary, rainy day. Of course, it doesn't bother me. I mean, like the song says, I've still got my health, so what do I care? For those of you tuning in for the first time, thank you a million times over. For returning listeners, I thank you too. You are my heroes. As I hear the patter of rain against the windows, I'm super grateful because in the Bay Area in California, we had a pretty warm and dry winter. So with water supplies dwindling, I can only wish that more is on the way, especially to states and countries that truly need it. Swatch Sick. Since the weather has been cooler than usual, I've wanted to actually knit up a cardigan. I figure after years of scarves and blankets and shawls, I may as well try a sweater, or stop buying yarn. So I looked through my books, through Knitty.com, through yarn maker websites, and Ravelry. I finally found a simple-ish cardigan that I liked the design of. And before I continue, I just would like to state how unfair it is that there are so many cute things for women, but only a handful of stylish men's patterns. Now, 6 hours of online looking at hideous patterns is really discouraging. And I don't have, the brain power to design knitwear. Modifying clothing, I can handle. Sort of. And I'll tell you about that later. But anyway, back to my cardigan. Now, every knitter knows that the first rule of knitting is checking your gauge. Since nearly every knitter does it differently, swatching helps to know if you need to adjust the pattern. So I swatched. And swatched. And swatched some more. I used the largest needle the pattern called for to cast on 20 stitches, made 28 rows, and should have gotten a 4x4 square. I used a worsted weight yarn, and a sport weight yarn, and a chunky yarn, and a large worsted, and never got the stupid 4x4. I switched to larger needles, and I tried again. The sport weight, which was the last one, was so close. A single stitch or two would have got me the right gauge. Would have. I'm actually debating with myself about labeling the swatches with the needle size and the yarn weight and the dimensions of the blocks so I never have to do them again. I'll just know. I would happily never have to swatch again. Or on the other hand, maybe I'll just stick to scarves.
Chances are your pants are not as fancy as the pair of very fancy pants that Mr. Fancy Pants will wear. When everybody's marching in the Fancy Pants Parade, he's gonna pass the test, he's gonna be the best in terms of pants. You look in every catalog, you shop in every store, cause even though you have 100 pants, you want some more. And suddenly you see the greatest pants you've ever seen, and even though you know it's gonna cost a lot of dough, you have to have the world's best pants. Say a little prayer for Mr. Fancy Pants. The whole world knows it's only clothes, and deep inside he's sad. to make the big announcement, and the trophy goes to you. You thought you had some fancy pants, and now you know it's true. You look at Mr. Fancy Pants and hold the trophy high. Everybody cheers while he's blinking back the tears. He doesn't even have the best pants. Say a little prayer for Mr. Fancy Pants. It's all he had, but don't feel bad. He'd do the same to you.
Corduroy Circus Pants. Last week, while trying to figure out what to wear for my audition at San Jose Stage, I came across a pair of gray corduroy pants that I didn't even know I had. So, because I didn't remember them, I tried them on. And they fit. Let me reword that. The waist fit. The legs were about a 36-inch inseam, and I'm short, like a 30-inch inseam. On top of them being so long, they were boot cut. That doesn't do me any good. No good at all. Luckily, I had my sewing machine out because I had to patch a pair of jeans that I had. So I got the brilliant idea that I would just shorten the hem myself. That should fix the problem, right? I measured where I wanted the pants to fall, marked it, and then chop! No going back now. I pinned the hem and I tried the pants on again. Crap. I got bell bottoms. So using the pinch and pin method, which is exactly what it sounds like, I pin, stitch, and then chop off the excess. And, well, it's a cordtastrophe, if I'll be honest. I now have corduroy ringmaster pants. Ugh. I'll shamefully post a picture on the show notes. All around my sewing area is cord carnage. I'm not worried, though. I swear. It's an easy fix. Although I should mention the whole project took multiple days. First, I broke my needle, and then I guess I inserted it backwards when I put the new one in. And I didn't even know that that could be done. So I'm sitting there trying to get the machine to actually sew, and I just kept getting this long line that didn't go anywhere. So, as you can see, I don't ever do anything in the easy way.
It's a nice one. Look towards the sky and you can see it. And everybody knows now they mean it. It's a nice one. Look in the sand and you can read it. And living for your dreams and they can kill it. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a bloody good day today. Yeah, it's a bloody good day today. Hey, blind one. Took a long time for you to see it. And everybody knows it now, they mean it. There's a crazy little thing called sense, and no one knows it. I don't know it. Please don't contrast you against. Oh no, don't do it. Oh no, don't do it. Hey man, it's a bloody good day today. Hey, it's a bloody good day today. A simple mind, so silent. Keeps doing better. Everything in life, you keep it in tight forever. Globalized, predictable, you think you can read it.
Life is just what it was, and not for you to know. It's a bloody good day today. Hey, it's a bloody good day today. Come on, it's a bloody good day today. It's a bloody good day.
The Bloody Audition. 2 Sundays ago, as I posted on the website, I had an audition for San Jose Stage's upcoming production of Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. It started out like any other Sunday. I got to work and opened the store, spoke through my monologue whenever customers weren't nearby. I was pretty calm up until the drive to the theater. Finding street parking in downtown San Jose isn't the easiest, so when I almost freaked out about not being there early because of parking, I began to recite my monologue again. I popped in 75 cents in the meter and began walking to the theater, and I got halfway there and then I realized that not only did I not need to feed the meter, but I forgot my other shirt. And if I went back, I would for sure be late. Deep breath, smile, and carry on. Once inside, I stop and do a quick internal check-in. So far, I'm calm. Happy, even. So far, so good. I look over my music, and my nerves get a little flutter. They call in the next person, and then I'm on deck. Hey, look! A sports reference! Now, my hands begin the shaking, what they usually do. And then I remember all the tricks I learned in the past year. The first is from Robert and Michelle Colt. I first notice the emotion that I'm dealing with. In this case, it's fear. And in my body, the fear sits just under the hollow of my throat. And it feels like it's an expanding balloon. So I accept this feeling. And then I kind of disassociate my mind from my feelings and I break it down logically. There's no balloon in my throat. And no one here is going to harm me, so why am I afraid? Once I've processed it logically, I purposefully try and recall that feeling back so that way I can let it go again. And then that final step is to recall it one more time and then think of it as energy and not just fear. Actually, not fear at all. Just energy. And then after that, I put my hands on my heart. And I connect with the heartbeat. How do I feel now? Pretty good. I give a sigh, and I check my hands. Good as gold. This second exercise is a combination I learned from two people. First, from Margie Wheeler, when I was taking the occasional voice lesson from her. Very, very sweet lady. She called it a sigh of relief. A big breath does wonders for the nerve. It truly does. The other way I learned this was through Elaine A. Clark's book, There's Money Where Your Mouth Is, which is, incidentally, the book I'll be reviewing. Her method is a little more involved in the checking in with yourself and lather, rinse, repeat, and violi. You're done, as needed. So the exercise is essentially the same. Then they call my name. Deep breath, smile, and carry on. Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson is a rowdy comedy rock musical. I didn't like any of the comedy monologues that I found, and I was bored with the ones that I knew. So I chose an itty-bitty piece from an Anton Chekhov play that, when emphasized correctly, could be subtly funny. I saw them chuckle and smile, so I believe it worked. And with it being a rock show, I wanted to sing a rock song that had a story, but it wasn't all emo or screamo or any kind of mo. So I chose Bon Jovi's Blaze of Glory. Some creative chopping, and I kept the story arc and the power notes, as well as staying under the allotted 2 minutes. Now, if you've never been to San Jose Stage Company, it's an intimate venue, so when I was singing the big ending, I felt like I was being too loud. It was a fleeting thought, though, and they asked, after I was done, what I knew of the show, and if I played an instrument, and about my choreography experience, and a few other things, and they were all so super-duper nice. It was really a pleasure to do this audition. And regardless of the outcome, I've already benefited from it. This was the first audition where I was calm, and I enjoyed myself, and I wasn't stressed through the night, so I actually got to sleep, and I hope all my future auditions go this smoothly.
Here am I, trying to hide behind the books that you once read. Long ago, lightning souls behind the books that you once read. Gasoline, dancing queen.
First ever book review. Before I start the first ever book review on the Activist Podcast, I'd like to say thank you to Allworth Press for this opportunity. This book is supposed to be a complete guide to the voiceover industry. Now, I've read a little bit about voiceover work, and looking through this book, I can honestly say that I didn't even scratch the surface. I was more like tapping at it, like, let me in. So I was very excited to see how helpful this book would be, or could be. First, a little background on the author. Elaine A. Clark is the owner of San Francisco-based Voice One. She's got 25 years of experience under her belt in commercials, varying from Macy's to Clorox. She's worked on corporate narrations, video games, and anime, and this is the third edition, actually, of her book. There's Money Where Your Mouth Is, released by Allworth Press in December 2011. Now, when I first cracked this book open, I was intimidated that there were 23 chapters. 23. Jeez. Topics range from voiceover aerobics, care and health, melody and tempo, and layering techniques. Right off the bat, in chapter 1, she opened my eyes to the way some jobs are cast based on the socio-political environment. Let's take now as an example. The economy isn't that great. Jobs are few and far between, numerous wars in the world, so a compassionate and calm voice is going to be the norm. Think B of A with Kiefer Sutherland, or Allstate with Dennis Haysbert. I haven't been able to listen to radio commercials the same way since. I swear, this is like a revelation. There are tons of examples and exercises to do in this book, as well as interviews with agents that are actually in the business, and those are kind of fascinating. Now, the book is set up in three basic parts. Part one teaches technique and terminology. Part two is the practice section, and it's super fun. Part three is all about how to go about getting work and representation, and I was really surprised how something as simple as tensing your shoulders when sitting rather than standing makes a big difference in the same words. I've known about gesturing when talking, and you know how it makes a change when there's no movement at all. When I was sitting with tense shoulders, I felt like I sounded timid, and yet when I stood up, I felt like I was I sounded overly stuffy, pompous, if you will. It was a lot of fun to record and listen to the different samples in the books and to hear the playback, and you're just like, wow, all you did is one little tweak here, one little tweak there, and there's a big, big difference to the way things sound. The knowledge contained in this little book is so useful for so much more than just voiceover work. Of course, actors will love this, but I recommend this for people who have to do presentations too. Learning how to give like a presentation that sounds natural and engaging is what some of the best lecturers already know. We've all had a teacher like Ben Stein on Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right? If you are that teacher, I am so sorry. All in all, this book is fantastic. I really do recommend it to anyone that doesn't yet own it. Okay, my scoring system is based on the comedy and tragedy masks. Of course, it's only fitting. So, for this particular book, Elaine A. Clark's There's Money Where Your Mouth Is, 3rd edition, released by Allworth Press, I give it 4 comedy masks. And this is all based on the usefulness of the information and the entertainment value, because it is really actually kind of fun to record these samples and play back and listen to them all the different ways that she recommends, and learning something about the way you speak. It's a fun, fun book, and it's fascinating too. I would give it 5. However, it's not one of those books where you just can't put it down. So I gave it 4. 4 really big comedy masks. I will have a link on the show notes for Allworth Press as well as Amazon. So that way, if you would like the book, you may find it there. This episode has come out way later than I intended it to. I got waylaid by an illness. So sadly, this particular review for God of Carnage by San Jose Rep is completely useless. It was a fantastic play, just so I'm not going to bother you or bore you with the details. It was a fantastic play. If you missed it, you missed out a lot. The only issue that I had was that one of the wives, she did this kind of head thing that overemphasized nearly every single word. So instead of shaking her head on, you know, some words that were strong or powerful in the sentence, she basically shook her head the entire time. But the script itself is freaking fantastic. It's super short. When you read it, it doesn't look funny at all, but when you see it on stage and the way that people behave, there's bullying going on. There's people just basically devolve from logical, mature adults down into the infants, basically, and it's hilarious. And you just kind of see all sorts of aspects of growth, you know, like child development in these people, and it was a fantastic show. If you missed it, I'm really sorry. Since this recording has come out so much later than I intended it, that I'm just going to go ahead and cut it short right here. For all my friends who have show openings or gallery openings or auditions, break a leg. For everyone else, so go out there and support live theater and your local museums. And until next time, my name is Jerry, and I am the Activist.